Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's good to be with everyone today. It is 9 o'clock on the 21st day of February 2018. We're going to begin our broadcast out of the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging thee, and you say, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Well, he spoke. Now, before I go any further, here is an awesome thing, that here is a woman in a dire situation. She has been going to the source of what was available to her, which were the doctors, medicine. And the source that she had been going to was failing, and she was getting worse. And then there was something that activated within her, and it was the gift of faith. And this woman knew within herself, this is the knowing of faith, that if I could just touch this man's clothes, I'll be healed. And sure enough, with all the people around and about the Lord Jesus Christ, this woman is determined. She's crawling through the crowd, and she's reaching out, and she's touching his clothing. And at that moment, Jesus feels virtue leave his body. In verse 30, Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, The word virtue there literally means a force of power, miraculous power. There was a source greater than the source of what man could provide. The source was in a person. The person was Yeshua, Jesus. And the woman knew. She just knew it. It wasn't a hope thing. She knew it. She didn't have just a confident expectation of something she did not see. She, I guess it's connected with her faith. She knew that if I touch him, I'm going to be healed. And I want you to know this morning that Jesus Christ is the source. Everything you will ever need in this life. And yet, I know that you and I oftentimes believe that the source is the doctor. The source is the medicine. The source is our job. The source is this, that, or the other thing. But I want you to know that when those things fail, when everything in this world system crumbles, when everything in this world system breaks down, when the banks don't work anymore, when the job fails, when there's a loss of employment, this is not a myth. This happens all the time. People lose their jobs. People lose their insurance. They can't pay for their bills anymore. Come on. But I want you to know that when every other source in this world fails, there is a source that is supernatural that abides continually in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and it's a never-ending source. Know something about Jesus, that he is not a singular man in a flesh body, that the source of power that was in the Lord Jesus when he walked on the earth was the glory that was in him. It was the divinity. It was the nature of God. It was God. And I want you to know that that source never runs dry. It is never limited. It is never lacking. He is the everlasting revelation. I mean, he's always effulgencing. It's not just once in a while. How often does the sun shine in its strength? Well, you say 12 hours a day. No, it's shining all the time in different parts of the world. The sun never sets. In other words, the sun never stops out rain. The sun, S-U-N, never stops releasing light. No, the sun is always shining. It's been shining since the beginning of time. It's always shined. And it just depends on where you are. You have to position yourself. Listen, you have to position yourself where the sun is, if you want the light to shine on you, right? And so this S-O-N of God, this Son of God, this light of the world, seated at the right hand of God, making intercession, praying for all people everywhere that trust in him and believe in him, his source of energy, his source of power, his source of strength, his source of wisdom, his source of knowledge, his source of revelation, his source of healing, his ability to restore, everything that he is available. The only thing lacking is faith. I'm telling you the truth. The only thing lacking is faith. Do you know that all those people were around Jesus? They were all around and thronging him. I mean, bumping into him, touching him. But never once did there come a release of glory. It was there. It was all around them. And all those people were around him, but they never felt the virtue. They never felt the glory. It was that one woman that was most desperate, that literally intentioned within herself to touch him because she knew something. And she went and she drew out of him that source of healing power, the virtue. I've been in ministry long enough to hear phrases like anointing suckers. And I, you know, repeated it myself a few times about the anointing suckers, but I came to realize something. You know, that is really an insult to people who understand that Jesus Christ is the source of everything. And the only way you get anything from him is by touching him, partaking of him, going to him. You may call that an anointing sucker. I call that wisdom. You know, it's only the proud that believes that they are sufficient apart from Jesus. Well, you know, I don't want to bother the Lord. You know, I'll hang around the Lord. Even the disciples were around the Lord, but they weren't getting any virtue. You say, well, maybe they didn't have a need. I doubt it. I believe everybody that was thronging him had some need. But, you know, it's one thing to be around the Son, but it's another thing to draw into the Son and take out and partake of the source of energy, light, and life that is in him. So you may want to be restrained and sophisticated and all of those things and say, well, I don't want to bother the Son of God. You know, I just want to be around him and kind of, you know, just be there. But the desperation of those that have intense needs and desires to partake of that anointing, they will enter in and suck out that anointing. That's exactly what she did. She was the ultimate anointing sucker. And she did not deplete the Lord's energy. She did not deplete him and take out of him and exhaust him. She sucked out of Jesus that anointing, that life, that source. She was an anointing sucker. Are you going to insult her? Did the Lord insult her and say, hey, lady, you're an anointing sucker. You're pulling out of me virtue. No, he commended her and said, daughter, be of good cheer. He said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. You are whole of your plague. The Lord did not mind. He does not mind when people go to him as the source to draw out of him, to suck out of him, put it any way you want to, what they need in their lives. It's the restrained, sophisticated, I don't want to get too close, I don't want too much, you know, because that's not nice. You know, they equate that with a covetous spirit. Oh, you're coveting. No, Jesus is the source of life. People like you and me should know better than we can't do anything without him. We're the vine, he's the vine, we're the branch. We understand as branches that we can't do anything without the Lord. So why wouldn't my branch be literally connected to that vine to suck out and to draw out all the life-giving power that is in Jesus? Maybe those phrases like anointing sucker has set you back. Well, I'm here to declare to you today, it is time to be an anointing sucker. You need to suck the anointing out of Jesus. You know, maybe the problem is that some people say, well, you know, people are trying to get from somebody. I got news for you. If you are a source, people are going to want what you have. And it's not necessarily a covetous spirit or a negative, insulting, anointing sucker. No. Wherever the source is, you think God gave you what you have just for yourself? If you have anything from God, you may as well expect that people around you are going to want what you have. And God gave you what you have to give to others. You know, it's a funny thing that we insult people that understand their need. And ladies and gentlemen, if you think that you're going through life and you don't need anything, you know, and you're kind of that spirit telling everybody, well, listen, you got to go get it for yourself. No, 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 no. That's the backward awkwardness. That is the worldly thinking. If you have something, then people want it and they're supposed to want it. And you say, well, go get it from Jesus. Well, I am getting it from Jesus. He gave it to you. And so what Jesus gave to you, I want to draw into me. Do you have a healing for somebody? Can you lay hands on the sick? Did Jesus tell you to lay your hands on the sick that they may recover? Well, yes. And so there's life in you that is from the source, Jesus, that is given to them. So let's not, you know, get stuck and find ourselves cut off from the source of life because somebody comes up with a phrase. I know exactly who came up with the phrase years ago, and you know, it just easily repeated, anointing sucker, they exhaust. No, 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 that's spiritual pride if you want to know the truth. If you have something from Jesus, people should be able to suck it right out of you, and if you're connected to Jesus, he'll give you enough that you'll never run dry. Don't worry about it, man. Jesus was effulgencing. Everywhere he walked, he was effulgencing. He was outraying. He was pouring out. He was pouring out every ounce of life, but he never ran dry. Sure, in the flesh, you have to go to a mountain and pray. Sure, in the flesh, you sit by a well, and you're weary in your journey, but he didn't stop. He continued to prophesy. Either life is in you or it's not, and if it's in you, there are people that are spiritually dead. They're going to want what you have, and it's intended by God for you to give it to them. Come on, that's what we're here to do, to pour out life, not our own, but the life of Jesus. And I'm telling you, How fat do you want to be? The scriptures say that we are to be made fat with the wealth and the grease of God Almighty. Have you read your Bible? Come and eat and partake and be made fat and get greasy and rich in the things of God. Well, you want to maintain this sophisticated level of independence, and I don't need to partake and bother the Lord. I'm telling you, now's the time to get to the breast, if you will. Now's the time, like little puppies that get to the breast of their mamas. They want the milk. Man, do you want the anointing? Do you want life? Do you need help? Do you need resources? Stop thinking that Jesus is limited what he could do. He's the unlimited source of eternal life. He's never going to give out. He is the Son, the S-O-N, and you could liken him to the S-U-N. He never stops shining his light. He never grows out. He never comes to a last amber. He's got enough for this planet and a billion other planets. He's got enough for the universes to supply to every person that has desire, but it is required that we have faith, and that faith is a desire to apprehend. A faith draws. Faith pulls. Faith sucks out of the honeycomb, the honey. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're a little puppy and you say, well, I don't want to bother mommy. There's already six other dogs on there sucking all the milk out, and so I'm going to sit back. Well, that puppy will starve to death. It won't grow up. It won't be enough nutrition. God has designed a resource for your life, ladies and gentlemen. And he said, come and get it. Come and get it. Now, you may not like that idea because you've been conditioned that, you know, it's not all about getting what you – forget that. Either you want life or you don't want life. And I'm talking about real life, spiritual life, true life. I'm talking about wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and, of course, all the blessings. I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you an honest question. Okay, forget about all your preconceived ideas and conditioned mindsets about what you believe and what you've heard out there, like anointing sucker. Let me ask you a question. Are you a child of Abraham today? Yes or no? Now, you should be able to answer that immediately. All right? If you are a person of faith, then you are the children of Abraham. As the children of Abraham, do you have an inheritance? Do you have an Abrahamic blessing on your life? Well, if you read Galatians chapter 3, the answer is simple. Yes. Was Abraham poor physically, materially? No. In fact, the Bible says he had great wealth. Do you know that Abraham never once worried about money? Abraham had so much wealth that everywhere he went, he wouldn't even let the kings of Sodom give him a treasure. He did not seek a reward from anybody. He had wealth. Now, are you a child of Abraham? And is the Abrahamic blessing on your life, yes or no? And if the answer is yes, and you're in agreement with the Word of God and the New Covenant, then you must know that God is wanting to make sure that you do not have to worry about things. Now, you say, well, wait a second here. Wait a second. There's lots of children of God on this earth, in Africa, in Asia, and around the world, that they have faith in Jesus Christ, but they have nothing at all. And I agree. They're rich in faith. I get that. But their faith, as the children of Abraham, God, let me ask you this. Does God supply the need of his people, yes or no? Did Jesus teach? Now, this is going to be tough, you know, in our conversation here. Did Jesus teach, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear? Did he teach that? The answer is yes, he did. So when we look over in different places around the world and we see starving people with no clothes, naked, starving people, is the Lord, and these naked, starving people, okay, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. These malnutritious, starving, thirsting, naked people that they show on the screens all the time. Is the Lord Jesus failing them? Has he failed them? You've got to answer that question. Because again, a lot of people base their personal journey with Jesus by what they've heard or what they've seen in others. I can't believe that Jesus Christ is failing the people. He said, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. Your Father knows that you have need of all these things. Now, why are people in other countries starving, thirsting, naked? You see their bone and their skin stuck to their bones? Well, Are they our responsibility or are they God's responsibility? Are they following Jesus? Are they following Jesus? We're going to have to answer these questions. And the fact of the matter is the children of Abraham are under an Abrahamic covenant blessing. Now, as believers in Jesus Christ, how many of you know that we have a better covenant with better promises? Yeah, better than the Abrahamic covenant. Better than any covenant that has ever existed. Because our covenant is an eternal covenant, first of all. It's not a temporary covenant. You and I have been joined through the blood of Jesus Christ into a new covenant that begins with eternity. We have eternal life. All right, that's the first part. But we also, in the new covenant, under the blood of Jesus Christ, we have a spiritual covenant where we have spiritual blessings of deliverance and salvation and healing and restoration. There are all kinds of spiritual benefits that are belonging to us in the new covenant, which is a covenant that has already been opened and has begun 2,000 years ago when the testator died. And the New Testament was released to everybody who believes. This is not, you don't have to listen to prosperity teachers out there to get this. This is the Bible. There's no manipulation. This is a fact. The fact is either you are a part of a new covenant and you are partaking of every ounce of that new covenant provision, or you're not. And you're not because you're either being blocked, or I'm being blocked, or something's going on to restrain us from entering in, and the people that do press in to get to the nipple, so to speak, and suck the milk and get the milk from the breast, we call them greedy and all these names, right? But they're getting the promises. They're getting the covenantal blessings. Are you? Is your life filled with the covenantal blessings of God? Are you walking in the fruitful maturity of love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, patience, self-control? Is the fruit of the Spirit that only can be afforded in the new covenant a reality in your life? Are you walking in the gifting of the Holy Spirit? Are you raising the dead, casting out devils, healing the sick? Are you commanding the weather, walking on water, feeding the multitudes with a few loaves of bread? Jesus said, if you believe in him, everything I do, you'll do, and even more will you do. Is that a reality in your life? Why are you not walking in the full covenant of the new covenant blessing? Why? And when others do, why do you sit back and say, oh, look at those greedy, covetous people? We have to answer these questions. Now, I'm not going to make a decision as to why those starving people with their skin that say they have faith in God, their needs aren't being met, because that's Jesus's responsibility. Now, maybe we're supposed to be over there putting food on their back and water in their tummies and food in their tummies and clothes on their back and all that. But and I think a lot of that does go on. But there's greedy governments. There's all kinds of negative things going on. I don't have all the answers, but I know that if you have a sound mind and you understand the word of God and you have faith to apprehend, then God's hand is moved. It has to be that way. Now, I'm asking you a very serious question because I'm wrestling right now with these ideas, because I know too many people that are living in their dis-ease. They are living in their sickness. They are not like the woman that pressed through the crowd with faith to apprehend, to suck out the anointing, to bring healing. She did not break any rules. She did not break any laws. She did not do anything contrary to anybody except for the Pharisaical religious leaders of her day. And I don't know if that starving individual, if faith comes into their heart and they reach out for Jesus, if he will not begin to answer prayer and supply needs. In other words, I don't believe that everybody that says they believe in God, believe in God. I don't believe that everybody says they have faith in Jesus Christ, really have faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know. But I do know that there is a day coming that the only thing that is going to matter to every one of us is our faith. When the Abrahamic covenant blessings are gone, the physical material blessings, well, there is a better covenant with better promises to sustain us in our daily lives. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is able to take care of you forever? Well, if you believe that, and that's a reality in your life, why are others not being taken care of who claim to have belief and faith in God? It's quite a conversation. I think it needs to be met. But I've got something here I want to share with you. And this was a prophetic word that was written many, many years ago. And it was called The Undercurrents of Divine Activity. The Undercurrents of Divine Activity. The Lord spoke to my heart and made mention of divine undercurrents that are about to erupt. He reminded me of the volcanoes that erupted around the world and said, first in the natural, then in the spirit. A decree has gone forth and it shall prevail in the land. Divine volcanic eruptions are about to take place all over the earth. These volcanic eruptions are the activities of my spirit in the hearts of those who have pursued me with all their hearts. I have been churning their hearts and have been stirring the perfection of my presence within them. They have at moments desired to burst like lightning only to find themselves settled again. There has been constant motion within them, and they have been through flood and flame. These have paid the price of endurance and will not be held back ever again. There is a block of spiritual giants that have stood in the way of my children. So I have stirred a holy passion within them, the children, and they shall push their way through into the place that the giants have not entered into. There is a deep frustration within those who have waited for the giants to lead or direct, but those days of frustration are about to be rewarded with breakthrough anointing. Though it will seem for a time as though disorder, chaos, and confusion are running rampant in the churches, in reality, it is an upheaval of spiritual maturity coming to fruition. There will be some giants that will attempt to suppress this move, but will find that they have no control over it. It is a volcanic eruption from the heart of my children who are begging for their religious freedom and their worship to me. These are holier than many of the giants, for their hearts are pure devotion to me. I have increased the measure within my humble servants, and they shall become more effective than those who have been at ease in Zion. Too many have taken the easy path and the path of least resistance. Yet I have those in whom, though they would desire the comforts of ease, will never rest until my purpose is fulfilled in the earth. Though you tell them to settle down, they cannot. Understand that it is I who will not allow them to rest until the work is finished. There must continue to rock the boat until all are awake. These must continue to sound the alarm until the whole house is listening. These must continue to face adversity in spite of the satanic pressure put against them. They will not keep silent. They will not rest. Yet I will tell you that their rewards will be great in the moments ahead. They are a breed that you cannot contain. You cannot put your religious fingers upon them, for they are mine. Do not expect them to join your concepts and ideas, but know that they are one with those who belong to me. They are under divine orders, orders that extend beyond the listening ear or the intellectual mind. These are under orders that have been sealed upon their hearts, and therefore they do not even think about the things they do. They just do them, even though the things they do are often misunderstood by themselves. I am bringing exasperated housewives to the forefront. I am releasing them from their confinement, for they have cried out to me, saying, there must be more. A birthing of visions and dreams are coming forth from these exasperated wives. They are holding their peace no more. Why? Because they are rebellious? No. It is because they have waited patiently for their husbands to take their place, and now that they have, a divine release of their helpmate qualities are about to shine forth like rays of light from the sun. Their husbands will be amazed at the wisdom and skill of their wives, and the ultimate joy will be seen in the transformation of their children. For the children will benefit, and all the years of the past shall vanish away, and a new relationship will abound. Parents will begin to commune with their children in joyful ways that they have not been able to because of the exasperation and conflict. But now order has come, and the joys of life are coming. This way of life will be heralded in the streets. Many will witness and see the family restored. A time of home fellowships are on the way. Homes will once again be the meeting for the saints. But in this hour, many neighbors that you never would have thought of will be sitting in the living room with the saints receiving the kingdom. A special anointing will be upon the homes of those whose doors will open in this season, and the reward will be my presence. There shall be such a holy atmosphere that none will allow it to be quenched. The wild shall enter into the home and be immediately subdued by the awesome power and presence of my being. They shall absorb my grace and love and shall be transformed. This home shall be their abiding place for spiritual edification. You will see them again and again until they are a member of my body, submitting and growing in the nurture of my spirit. The homes will serve as daily gathering places, while each week, as many homes are gathered together in one location, will come together for worship and fellowship. It is at this time, when all are gathered together, that I will pour out such waves of anointing that miracles, signs, and wonders will follow the word that is spoken. Many new songs will be sung by those who have up to this time never allowed their voices to be heard. There will be great joy in the hearts of the people, and they will have a divine security about them and in their hearts. This security will free them to worship without fear. Their freedom will not be geared towards foolishness or vanity, but will be directed in function and purpose. Many who have had the reputations of lightness will suddenly become very sober, and the leadership skills within them will manifest, taking many by surprise. Yes, I am speaking of undercurrents of divine activity. The things that have been written shall surely come to pass, and much more shall abound in the days ahead. Once again, eruptions of volcanic proportion shall be witnessed in those who have loved me with all their heart, souls, mind, and strength. I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me, and it is my pleasure to reveal myself to whom I will. I have sought you out and have found the heart of David within you, a heart that loves me above all else. This heart of yours is sanctified by faith and by my blood. Finally, there are some who have felt last. Remember my words where I said, the first shall be last and the last first. This is your season, for I have reserved the best for last. In this hour, you shall be taken into the spotlight of my glory. You shall be beheld by angels and men, and they shall see your good works and praise me. You shall appear on the scene, seemingly doing what others have done, but they will ask, where did this one come from? The people will want to know how to contact you. They will have eaten the same food for many years at different places, but will find what you are giving out to have better quality and substance. Though you be a new kid on the block, you shall be sought out by many. So, think not to say within yourself, others have already done it, for I declare unto you that until you have done what you were created to do, it has never been done. All right, so divine undercurrents of divine activity, volcanic eruptions. What's happening here? There's something on the inside of you that is wanting to burst. Is it there? Is it there? Stir it up. There is a divine undercurrent. There are divine activities that are about to come forth out of your life. And yes, as the molten lava pours out of you, rather than people fleeing from it, they're going to draw to it, because the molten lava is not for disaster. It is the anointing that brings healing, restoration. Jesus was like a volcanic mountain, and he was effulgencing out of him all of the anointing for the people. The Lord is not trying to send people away from him. He is drawing people to him. Our job is to bring people to Jesus Christ and trust that Jesus Christ is able to do in them what none of the sources of this world can do. Like the woman that we read about in the beginning of the chapter today, she wasted all of her resources and wealth on those who said they had something but had nothing. She only grew worse until she came to the ultimate source. I'm here today to tell you there is an ultimate source. His name is Jesus. He is a constant volcanic reality. He is constantly shining forth. He is constantly releasing. You can get into it. You can tap into it. Why? Because the Bible says we all have access to the Father, that we can ask anything in his name and he will do it. I am not an expounder or an expounder of greed or covetousness. That has never been my heart. But don't tell me that you like living in the limited realm, that you feel holier because you are more limited, but you're holier because you have lack. You're holier because you're standing back while everybody else is getting in. That is pure foolishness. God wants to take your life. He wants to fill it up so much that it can't do anything but exude. It can't do anything but give out. God wants to do something in your life so rich, so big, so great in this hour. And why not? The powers of darkness are certainly doing their worst. God wants to do his best. The powers of darkness use unredeemed and unregenerate men. God can only use the material that comes to him by faith. Ladies and gentlemen, are there divine activities rumbling beneath the skin of your life? In the deepest part of your being, is there not great desire for release? Is there not desire to do something in the realm of the kingdom of God in this hour? I'm just asking. The reality is simply this. We need to recognize at this very moment. Before I go on, I've got a call coming in. I'm going to take this call. And I'm going to go to my dear friend, Bill. Bill, good morning, sir. I noticed that you called in. How are you doing today?
I'm doing blessed, Pastor. All I can say is, wow. When I was meditating on the Word this morning, your message hit it home. You know, when we sign contracts, you know, whether we're buying a car, a house, or something like that, you know, we're supposed to read the fine print and everything. Most of us don't. Why? The reason we don't is because we know that in the end, it's not going to take our life. We're still going to be, we're still going to have our life. If we mess up, it might cost us a lot of money, right? But we were given a contract by our Lord, okay? We were given a contract called His Word. And that contract, if you read it, okay, it can mean life and life abundantly forevermore. But if you read, that's if you read it and choose to follow its precepts. But if you read it and choose not to follow its precepts, or if you don't read it and you don't follow its precepts, it can cost you your life. So why would any one individual want to put their hope or trust or faith in a man and be led astray? See, God is the only one that's fallible. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Man, on the other hand, God says, I'm not a man that I should lie, basically saying that all men do lie. So why would you put your trust and your hope and your faith in a man that could lie? What I'm hearing you say is, look, folks, you need to get connected to the vine. You need to get connected to the source, and that's Jesus. That's our Father. And get connected and stay connected to that, because then it's going to take you into the precepts of that contract and bring you life more abundantly. But when you don't get connected to that, the results are not good. And I was studying on that this morning. And now I'm listening to your message. Wow, that's all I can say. Be blessed, Pastor. I'll keep listening.
All right. Well, God bless you. Yeah, and you think about the spiritual power that was going out of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider the spiritual power. A tree has what we call sap in it, right? There's something that comes up from the roots. And that sap is what goes into the branches so that the branches could bear fruit. It is the divine anointing of God that allows you and I as branches to become fruit-bearing branches and leaves on our branches. And remember, the leaves are for the medicine of the nations. Okay, so this is a divine work. And I want to go back to another thought here. Abraham. When Abraham was called by God, he was very rich. Do you know that? I'm talking materialistically right now. Abraham was rich. Do you think that Abraham was ashamed of his wealth? I don't, and I don't think you do either. But I want you to know something, that Abraham transferred his wealth to his son, Isaac. Isaac was the heir. And I want you to know that Isaac transferred, and Isaac was a guy that received 100-fold. He would sow and in 1 year reap 100-fold. Isaac transferred his wealth to Jacob. And you remember, even in the time of drought, when there were only 70 people, Jacob was a very wealthy man, and that's why he sent his sons into Egypt with all that gold and silver to purchase. He had the treasury of his father. And so the 12 tribes, when Jacob was dying, who was Israel, he blessed a spiritual blessing upon his sons, but there was also a transfer of wealth to them. And then they went out and they did with it. And so the transfer of wealth has been going on through the natural lineage of Abraham, the loins of Abraham. And a lot of people say of the Jewish people today, and I'm speaking in general terms now, that the Jews have a great skill for banking, and they have an ability to make money, and they have a lot of wealth, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so there is a transfer of wealth. But here's going on with the Gentiles, the people that were not Jewish according to the bloodline or to the loins of Abraham, but have been grafted in through their born-again experience to the ultimate Jew, Jesus. Well, we have become partakers of the root. And there is a transfer of wealth that belongs to us just in the Abrahamic covenant and the Abrahamic blessing as his children. We are to receive a benefit. It's the truth. Now, the Jesus covenant is a greater covenant because this is the eternal covenant of spiritual blessings that come in a transformation of life that Abraham could never give. The covenant of Abraham could never produce a new creation species, but the Jesus covenant can. But the glory is as believers, we have access to both the Abrahamic covenant and the covenant that's through Jesus Christ. Are you ashamed to receive an inheritance? I want to ask you a question. If you're a child and your mommy and daddy has wealth and they die, are you going to be ashamed to go and take the inheritance that they left for you? Are you going to say, oh no, I have other brothers and sisters who are less fortunate than I, and even though my name is on the contract, even though I'm the heir, the beneficiary of this covenant, I'm not going to take it. I'm too good for that. I'm going to give it to somebody else. I have never met a person that has rejected the inheritance of their parents, ever. Now, it may exist, but I've never known anybody to do it. You have your name as a beneficiary on the Abrahamic covenant as a child of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham is on you. And the blessing of Abraham is different from the blessing that comes through Jesus Christ. The Abrahamic covenant, the Abrahamic blessing, you got to study it out, what it represents, and know that there's a transfer of wealth. You know, I never talk about these things because I know there's been such a perverse, well, maybe, you know, I need to be careful about that as well. I know that there are times where the gospel is preached for gain, and that's a problem. That's not going to be what I'm remembered for, is preaching the gospel for gain. However, I would be wrong if I did not declare the promises of God that are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Does that mean every person in the body of Christ is supposed to have financial wealth? Well, let me put it to you this way. Did any of the children of Israel in the wilderness lack anything? The Bible says they didn't lack, but their shoes didn't even wear out. Did the church in the book of Acts, did any member of the church lack anything? The Bible tells us in the book of Acts that they had all things common and that everyone's needs were met. Why? Because within the church, the economy of God, everybody that had land, some people had land, they sold it, they gave it to the apostles, and distribution was made according to the needs. But everybody that was in the church in the book of Acts had their needs met. Not only their financial needs, their physical needs for food and water, they had to anoint 7 deacons just for distribution to be made to the Grecians because they were coming in and they were partakers of the blessing too. But they also were distributing the spiritual blessings. I don't believe that a member, listen now, a member, a genuine member of the body of Christ can lack. Why? Because that's like saying that there's no nourishment going to that part of the body. That part of the body is dead. That part of the body is suffering. That part of the body is weak. That part of the body, well, the question is why? Now, those who are seemingly the weakest, they get double honor from the rest of the body. In other words, God has designed things to be a certain way where everybody has their needs met. But what has been promoted in Christianity in some ways has been a lazy spirit. I don't want to work. I don't want to go out and work and take care of my own needs and make sure I have something to give to others. There are people that feel entitled. And so Paul writes to the Thessalonians, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. He should be put to shame. So the idea that people want to live, plow, is also a misnomer. That's not good either. I don't know how I got here today. That is so interesting. So interesting. What are your thoughts? I'd love to hear from you. 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326 is the number to call. Press 1 on the dial pad. And then I want to just share this again about Donald Trump. Pray for President Donald Trump to do more than what most have expected in the realm of draining the swamp. You know, he is just signing something about guns. Have you noticed that? It's called the bump stock, which makes an average gun like a machine gun, or it could fire rapidly. It's called a bump stock. So he's putting forth legislation for the first time. Now, Barack Obama, this is very interesting. Barack Obama was totally anti-gun, but he never put anything forth to put an end to bump stocks. As I understand, I can't see it anywhere. So pray for Donald Trump. Whatever's moving right now in the atmosphere, do understand this. Do understand this point. Everything in the world that's is progressive on the left is anti-Trump. They have a job, and I want you to notice this. They are never going to stop slandering, accusing, attacking Donald Trump. Why? Because he is against the movement of where they want to take things. They want to get through the next several years, get him out of there, and replace him with one of their own to continue the progress. I believe that we have a window, a very small window of opportunity for each one of us at this moment, because the deep state is so distracted, the New World Order is so distracted by this disruption, that we have this moment of opportunity to get in a position, strategic position, for the next great move of God on this earth. Yes? There is a purpose and a calling in your life, and now is the time to move into the strategic alignment for the great shift that's going to happen in this earth. We've been talking a lot about it. The number to call, 818-369-0326. And press 1 on the dial pad. Yeah, I'm even surprised at myself that I go into this kind of teaching. But I have a lot of questions. You know, I know that ministries like this, they all need money. I watch my friend Rick Wiles on television now, and I see that, you know, everything they do to get that message out requires everybody. Money, 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 right? And I try to be such a nice guy and talk about it once in a while and act like it's not that important. And yet everything in our lives requires money. And so in our ministry, we don't get paychecks. We don't have any, you know, weekly check or biweekly check. We've never have in 26 years. So everything we do depends on the saints of God. In an hour and a half from now, I'll be going on to Kerm Radio, where we spend money every month to be on that radio station because we believe God has opened the door to get the word out to our congressmen and other people in the area. And so we're moving. Money is important. And so to neglect the blessing of Abraham, to not even speak about it because we're afraid to, because it may turn people away because their thoughts about money in the church, that God and money, it's all the same. And I'll leave it at that. But there is a blessing. There's a reality to finances. And there needs to be a real financial transfer of wealth to ministries like these, and a transfer of wealth to people like you who are the Abrahamic covenant people. Because I'm convinced if God will get wealth to you, that wealth will be transferred to the ministry so that the ministry doesn't have to worry about the finances. Does that make sense? So that we can keep doing what we do. So my prayer is that God enriches you, that you will get the revelation of the Abrahamic covenant and begin to call forth the transfer of wealth into your life, so that you can become a genuine giver and partner to the work of the ministry in an accelerated way, a big way, not just a little bit. And I'm asking God to give you much more than just a little bit so that you could take care of the bigger needs that are around you so that we're not just surviving. I guarantee you, Abraham and his seed did not just survive financially. King David had so much wealth. King David had so much wealth, and Israel had so much wealth. I mean, you read Chronicles with the amounts of gold and silver and all that they were worth. I mean, the wealth was amazing. There's wealth everywhere in this world right now. I mean, people go out in a weekend and raise $15 million. There's athletes getting $600 million for a contract. I mean, the money is it's extravagant, and yet so many of God's children are living in the realm of limitation and lack. Visions and dreams cannot be launched because there's a lack. And you know, I don't want to be held responsible to say that the gospel is a gospel driven by poverty, and if there's anything of money, then it's a defilement. I understand the balance again, that the gospel is not about financial gain. It's not about worldly success. You don't preach to get. You can go to you can go get a job and get. The gospel is a very powerful thing, but you cannot exclude the blessings and the reality of financial prosperity and blessing. In fact, Paul writes to Timothy and says, just tell the rich people to make sure they share their wealth. That's all he said to them. He didn't condemn the people that had money. He just warned the people that had money, don't put your trust in uncertain riches. In other words, temporary fading riches. But he did say to share it. He didn't condemn them for having it. The rich young ruler was told to give up everything he had. He went away sad because he had his heart on the wealth. A lot of people like to believe that he was Barnabas and later took what he had, sold it, and gave it to the apostles. So whatever the case is, I don't even know why I'm talking about this. I'm going to have someone help me here this morning. 479-715, you're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning. You know, I received glory, hallelujah, it's coming. And it's wonderful to see the kingdom of God advance because he promises he gives seed to the sower, not to sow. When we're about his business and to see his kingdom and his kingdom alone advance, it is wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And I can give a testament also, too, that with both of you being my pastors, that I've watched you both walk. You live this out by faith. You don't receive a paycheck. And I've watched it in the little and in the much, and you live this out by faith, and thank you for continuing to speak the truth in love. God bless you.
Well, you brought up a point, and I think it's very interesting. You know, you got to put your faith to the test. How many of you believe that? You've got to put your faith to the test. Now, I'm presenting these ideas. Honest to God, this is I didn't wake up this morning and plan to do any of this. I wanted to read about the virtue of God. Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. I need to know if this is real. You need to know if this is real. So the question is, well, where do we get the abundance from? Where will the wealth come from? How will the transfer come? Well, here's what I believe, and I've put this to the test, and I've seen the reality of it many times in my life. I believe that you have seed in your hand. You may have seed right now, and there has to be soil for you to sow your seed into. I would encourage every individual listening to this broadcast right now who wants to join me on a journey of testing the Lord. Yes, Malachi says we can test God in this area of the tithe and offering, right? So I would like to do a test. Patricia and I were told by Marilyn Moss many years ago, we've got it written on paper, that our ministry is a hundredfold ministry. She said she had a vision of a golden shovel in the darkest, blackest, richest soil. She said, God said we're a hundredfold ministry. I would like to put the challenge out today for people that are listening on Omega Radio. And I'm going to read you a letter here in just a second. Somebody sent me, and I'm going to tell you, maybe this is what inspired this whole thing. But I'm going to challenge the listeners to the Omega Radio Network. We built this radio station over a year ago. And it's moving forward. We started it in April. So we're now in the 9-month, 10-month realm. I'm going to ask for you to join me in putting this to the test. And I'm going to ask you to sow a gift, to sow your money into this Omega Radio ministry. You to believe that you're going to take that seed and sow it into a hundredfold soil. And I'm going to ask you to believe with me the principle of what? Seed, time, and harvest. You sow your seed, you give it some time, and then you reap a harvest. That's the principle of God. And I'm going to ask you to put Omega Radio to the test right now. And my belief is, if this ministry is truly ordained by God and the anointing of God is on this work, that the soil is a hundredfold, that you will reap a hundredfold of the gift that you give. Now, I need to get a letter. I need to step away from the microphone for exactly 31 seconds. I'll be right back. I want to read you a letter. All right. We did 31 seconds. Here's a letter I received, and it was a surprise. Came in the mail the other day. Dear Vincent and Patricia, greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am a new listener to Omega Radio. It has been an oasis in the desert, rivers of living water, and so refreshing. The anointed men and women of God have so much of God's word to say to the body of Christ and to those that do not know the Lord as of yet. So this letter is coming from an individual that isn't just talking about my broadcast, but is talking about the entire Omega Radio network that we have built. She continues on. I think it would be a sin to enjoy all these wonderful messages and revelations of God's word and never tell you so, or send any gift of support. Being a senior citizen and living on a very limited income, I can't send much, but what I send is with God's love in me, praying for you to become everything God wants you to be, fulfilling the Great Commission, feeding the sheep of God, making mature disciples of Jesus Christ, awaiting the return of Jesus Christ while working in his kingdom and winning many souls into his kingdom. Having already been committed to my local church, World Vision, and Mercy Ships Ministries, and now Omega Radio, I will send support when I can. Your vision has touched my life, and I am thankful and grateful. Thank you, your sister. And there is no name to it. And I thought to myself, here is a new listener that understood the value of Omega Radio. I just think that's amazing. And so if we are an oasis in the desert, if there is an outflow, wouldn't it be realm of agreement and fellowship to communicate with this ministry, to begin to bless the ministry financially, the Omega Radio Network? And I'm going to ask you to do something. This woman sent $20. That was her gift. It was a $20 gift. It was four $5 bills. And those were the richest $20 I think I've ever received because of the love it came with and the heart it came with. My prayer to God is that those $20 in that woman's life will explode into a blessing, a financial blessing. Now, but I want you to listen to something, please. A financial blessing that'll overwhelm what she gave, number one. But according to the new covenant in the book of Corinthians, not only will God multiply the seed sown, but he will increase the fruits of righteousness. You see, the spiritual blessing on our giving in the new covenant is amazing. That's why I say there is no greater investment in the world than into the kingdom of God. Why? Because every investment in the world can only give you a return on your money, but cannot increase the fruits of your righteousness. And the word of God in the new covenant says that when we give to the work of God, he does increase the fruits of our righteousness. It is a spiritual blessing. You can't get that in any investment in the world. So I'm going to ask you to begin to invest in Omega Radio. You can do that by going to our website at omegaradio.org. And I'm gonna ask you to do something because I've got to put this to the test. I need you to contact me with an email or a text message and let me know when you have sent a gift. I need to monitor and know that when money is being sent to the ministry, that it is coming through. I need to do that. There's an accountability here that I need to be a part of. So I'm going to ask you to go to the omegaradio.org. That's what it is, omegaradio.org, if you desire to give online. And there's a PayPal account you could go to, but I need you to tell me. I sent money to PayPal. I need you to text me by the number that I'll give you. If you want my telephone number, you could text me or email me, okay? I need you to do that. Then, if you say, I don't want to do this online, I'm going to give you an address. And the address is P.O. Box 100. It's very simple. P.O. Box 100. And that's in the town of Decatur. And that's D-E-C-A-T-U-R. That's Decatur in the state of Arkansas, A-R. So P.O. Box 100, Decatur, Arkansas. And the zip code is 72722. If you would send a gift that way to Omega Radio, make sure it's for Omega Radio, and then make sure you contact me and let me know that you sent that money to P.O. Box 100, Decatur, Arkansas, 72722. I need to monitor this for a moment, and I just need to know at this moment, today, and for those of you that may be listening tonight on the rebroadcast or whenever, I need to know that you have responded to the call today, because I believe God is doing this. I believe it's kind of the way he wants things done today. And I'm believing that you need to have confidence and faith that you're sowing into an oasis, a black-soiled hundredfold ministry, that the seed that you sow to partner with this ministry will come back to you, but it will also provide an increase of your righteousness according to the Word of God, and that this ministry can be sustained, that Omega Radio can grow into a internet radio with video onto YouTube. We have a vision. We want to get out there too. Rick Wiles has done it. There were millions of dollars that were poured into his ministry because he worked hard and he just let people know the needs. It's time for me to do the same thing. I'm letting you know what the needs are. I'm calling you into it. I'm asking you to put a seed in the mail today or on the computer to sow into this work today. Not tomorrow, not the next day, today. And don't say, well, I've already given to the ministry. No, today, give a seed into the black soil of a hundredfold soil, and then give it some time, and let's see if there is a wealth explosion in your life with an increase of the fruits of righteousness. This ministry has to be tested. We have to know it's either from God or it's not. We know that it is. Others know that it is. So let's get into the movement of faith and begin to receive the benefit of sowing into the kingdom and reaping from God's ability to get things into your life. And I'm going to leave it right there. I know somewhere around here right now is my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier. She's going to continue right here on the Omega Radio Network with her broadcast, The Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights. I hope that you'll stay tuned and you'll continue to listen into the broadcast. Patricia Joy, good morning. God bless you. How are you doing today? And what a strange way to go, huh?
Well, praise God. I think the Lord is moving in certain ways and means that it's not of us, but of Him. And I praise the Lord because there is a ministry spoken of in the Bible called the administration of wealth. It's in the Word of God, and God blesses certain individuals to be in that administration. He gives them wealth so that they can give to the work of God. And today, that work of God is establishing the kingdom. First, it's been established within us. We know that when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, He said the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is within. The kingdom of heaven, though, will touch the kingdom of God, and it'll be established on earth. And that is what is at the hand in the near future. So the whole idea of the administration of wealth is the blessing from God. He did say the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Why? Because the work of God must move for the kingdom to be established. Kingdom-minded people that take it by force, that bring the understanding, the new revelation that is being unfolded at this time, because he has kept the best for last. And also because he said in the last days he will reveal mysteries. And mysteries are being revealed and unraveled so that we understand the work of God in these times that we're in. And deliverance takes the work of God, believe me, in these times that we are in. Deliverance is so absolutely necessary. And I am Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier. And today we will be discussing, as we have, and reading from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Now, the manner in which to successfully administer deliverance is to resist Satan. And it would be the same in the manner to administer wealth is to resist Satan, because Satan would come in both aspects as a spirit of fear to make us believe that our Lord is not capable of taking care of us. In fact, that doesn't even exist. And that's a lying spirit. But the fear is to cause the administration of deliverance and the administration of wealth to be not capable in these times we're in, but it is more so now than ever before. And as I stated earlier in my book, this takes total dependence on God, both aspects of the administration of wealth and deliverance of the soul. And it is one and the same, because why? It is all based on giving forth one's total and complete being to the work of the Lord, and that he will bless those who work for him. You know, there's oftentimes that I have thought, I see everybody investing in the world. I see them investing in stock. I see them investing in certain coins. I see investment in the world continuously. And I am not saying that investments of those kinds of things would not work. But I have a concept that God downloaded me with some time ago, and I believe I'm correct in it, is that the economy of God is the greatest investment one can give. Where can you get a return of 30 or 60 or 100-fold on your investment in giving to the kingdom of God? And this would be without any kind of trepidation, because it's promised in his word. Economy of God is greater than any investment we could make in the world. And in faith alone, the receiving of 30, 60, 100-fold is there for you, according to your faith. When we put money in the stock market in the world, we have faith that it's going to return to us, do we not? But how much greater to give for purposeful things that are beyond our understanding and estimation on how purposeful they are and how they will bring the incredible glory to the will of people that have been willed to do wrong, and to the earth, in which he is going to set up his kingdom very soon. And we will rule and reign with him. But we must have that faith, that understanding of scripture, that now is the time to move. Now is the time for the power of God to move within us. And if you will recall from chapter 3, it is with the power of God that we will cast out devils. It won't be of our own power. And it'll be of the power of God that we will receive in return for the investment into the kingdom of God 30, 60, 100 fold. Not our own power, but the power that comes from the kingdom of the living Lord within you. He is establishing a different kingdom, not the kingdom of this world, but the kingdom of his own on earth. This is happening. That's why there will be a transference of wealth, to bring forth the kingdom of God, to release this kingdom that has been placed within us. Now, let's go back to deliverance. The person needing deliverance must have faith that he can be delivered. The person that is receiving wealth from the world must have faith that when they deliver money into the kingdom, it will be returned. We must have confidence in the deliverance ministry and also in the ministry of giving. It goes in such a beautiful pattern and beautiful way that once you understand this way, it is never again going to be shaken in your heart. I remember and recall that the Lord told me, if you understand that you are working for me, for my work is to establish my kingdom on earth, I will be your boss and I will meet every need according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You know, let me say it again. You heard it over and over again. The streets in heaven are literally made of gold, transparent gold, which is so pure and so perfect. Why? It's a place of perfection. We want to be established in this perfect way of the kingdom of God. And if we die before he returns, and I believe that those who are living now for him with all their heart will be alive and remaining at the coming of the Lord. Even so, if we happen to pass during that time, we will enter into the most incredible atmosphere we could ever think of or imagine on earth. The mind can't be wrapped around it. Now, I have learned that those most willing to be delivered, and fear is a huge work of deliverance, the deliverance from fear. It's huge. It's a huge work to be delivered from fear, because then their faith soars like you could not imagine, and healing will pour out of your very being as an outlay, as a virtue. As Jesus said, I felt virtue come out of me. It is his power that is and was released and is released in you when you believe. And when you are delivered from fear, you will believe like you have never believed. And I've learned that those most willing to be delivered have had the greatest success in being set free. Individuals who were willing to put down their pride and their carnal concepts were able to lose the lesser devils from their hiding places. You loose those lesser devils from their hiding places, and they were allowing the ruling spirits to be revealed in their life that have taken rulership over them from generation to generation to generation and would continue unless it was stopped in their lives. This made it possible to demand the departure of the devils by invoking that great name, the name of Jesus, and it made it impossible for the demons to remain, because the scriptures tell us every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that would be in those who have passed away in past generations to this very moment in time and in the future. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess in the kingdom established on earth that Jesus Christ, no other thing, no other person, no other concept. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Why? It was from him in the beginning that the heavens and the earths were established. And all the universe came into power. It is from him, Christ. And he became Jesus on earth, that he may have a name and walk among us, that he may show us what a wonderful world we could really live in if we did not deny it. And so that he could release his power on us, and so that he could be made accommodating and understand the ways of humanity. He loved so much that he left the greatest abode ever to come here, where things are not happy, where there is war and rumors of war, and Rome was definitely in control at the time. But he came, and he came to find himself in the most horrible of situations. It mattered not, for he wanted us to know the glory that could be on earth that was taken away. So, in the name of Jesus, the enemy of our soul, devils cannot remain. They have to leave. They have no other recourse because they have no greater power. The power is in the name. The authority is in the name. And that resides in you if you allowed him to become the Lord of your life through the giftings of the Holy Spirit. Well, before going any further, it is important that we establish in our hearts the fact that whoever is ministering deliverance must be a righteous individual to deliverance. Again, the reason for writing the book. And that person must be one of faith, with an attitude of prayer, and without any unforgiven sin in their lives. And Satan, believe me, will recognize the power of Christ within the deliverance minister. As I mentioned earlier, an account of such a lack of righteousness is recorded in Acts 19, beginning in verse 13. And I read to you what happened to the sons of Sceva, and even one of them was a Jewish chief priest. And it was noted that the chief priest, a very learned religious figure at that time, was in this alleged deliverance involved. And one day the evil spirit answered when they were ministering, "Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all of them. You see, the devil is very strong, very powerful. And he gave them such a beating that they ran out of his house naked and bleeding. My friends, listen, be forewarned. Something of this nature will happen to anyone who encounters devils and commands devils to come out without the authority of the kingdom of God firmly established, and that name, Jesus Christ, within you. That's how powerful it is. That's how powerful the Holy Spirit within you is. But it has to be established firmly within you. You have to have faith that that has happened because of your belief. There are churches today that are toying with deliverance ministries as part of their fellowships, as part of their outreach to the community. And some, possibly many, do so without understanding its seriousness and what it is required of its people. Even though it could be very dangerous for the uninformed but zealous Christian worker, I don't want you to become afraid. I want you to understand that your faith will cover it all if your faith is true. And your belief in Christ, in you, the hope of glory, is established, truly established, without doubt. In Acts 19:17, we read that when the beating of the seven men and the Jewish priests became known in the city of Ephesus to both Greeks and Jews, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. It's going to happen again. His name is going to be brought up in high honor again. Right now, no. Right now, the war has ensued to bring down the name of Jesus Christ, and has already been at work in the last 50 years to destroy the power of Christianity. And the reason it's been mocked is because, truthfully, there's been too much division between us in doctrine, in concepts and ideas. If we all stay in the center of salvation, the cross, and understand its power that it's been granted to those who believe, we won't be mocked and criticized and ridiculed. Because without firm truth, you won't be able to live the life properly. And when you can't live the life properly, people notice and they watch and they say, what kind of God do they serve? And they're saying that right now. Your Christianity hasn't done a thing for this nation. Down with it, they're saying. Up with communism. After all, at least the government will give us everything we want, everything we need. But what has happened? The word has not been taught in power and conviction. It's been a watered down gospel for the most part, not all. And therefore mocked by those of the world who see the weakness in the Christian and already know their own weakness and don't want any part of it. So what then? What is happening in the church world today is that the name of Jesus is not being held high, because the church is not moving by the power of the Spirit in the kingdom of God. Now, there are some who have, but not enough. We need to become one in this empowerment of God's kingdom. In verse 18, it says, many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. Now, why am I bringing up verse 18? Because earlier I brought up Acts 19, verse 13. And now I want you to consider verse 18 in Acts of 19, chapter 19. Many of those who believe now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. That's what will happen when they see the power of the kingdom of God moving in your life. Praise God, for that is what we must see in the world today. The manifestation of God's power and evidence of his everlasting love and action by the casting out of devils from his people, and also by the power of healing and even healing the dead, raising them up from death itself. The power of God is over death. He already overcame death on the cross. The power is there. He overcame death itself. But before we become the power in which he has called us to be, a unified body, an elect, the manifested sons of God, the army of the Lord, before that happens, we must begin in ourselves and then unite together in truth. That's why he gave me the opportunity to write the book. He downloaded me with this information. He gave me the opportunity, which I am very grateful for, to write the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. It is our Bill of Rights. And if we're going to move together, unite together in truth, that I believe God has given for me to write down. And if you don't believe so, then just email me, Patricia Joy Xavier, Xavier, @gmail.com. You don't believe certain words in scripture that I'm presenting in the way I'm presenting it. And this way, if I'm in error, I can work with you and we can be more empowered because we unite in the truth together. And if you are in agreement, let me know that too. And if you want others to understand God's move in this time, you can purchase my book at Amazon, just online on Amazon, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And you can read it for yourself and give it to another. Pass it on. Let's move mightily in this. Let's rise up as a true army of God, the overcomers he called us to be, overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil. That is where we unite, in that power. And our love will be established in a greater manner because we will understand the wonderful love of God to give us such wonderful things to do in setting the captives free. Are you in agreement with me? If you are, please let me know. I would love to understand where you're coming from. So many of those who believe now came. God bless you. I was just told that it's ended. God bless you. May you be one of those who believe with all your heart in the promises of God for these days we're in.